I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error. Go stronger.
Hour of power, Lord Jim, two Catholics with a PhD in common sense, and we are your spiritual fitness trainers. Pull up a chair, pour yourself some coffee, and let's have a conversation. Terry, reporting for duty, sir.
Amen, brother. Me too. I'm reporting for duty, sir, also. Jesse, I just love the first part of the Terry and Jesse show because we get the word of God that the church has given us each day for Mass. And if you can't make Mass, at least you can hear the gospel of the day. And we got a saint of the day. It's just so beautiful and so rich. So I would like to ask everybody to open up for some soul food from the Gospel of Matthew.
Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 to 15.
Mm-hmm.
This is where our Lord talks about without cost you have received, without cost you are to give. Here it goes. And preach as you go, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. Once again, there it is. The whole ministry of exorcism was given right in the first century. It says, you receive without pay, give without pay. Take no gold, nor silver, nor copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor a staff. For the laborer deserves his food. In other words, people who live by the gospel are going to, people who preach the gospel will live by the gospel. You see that. In other words, Jesus is saying, don't worry about it. I'll take care of your needs. Okay, just don't worry about it. Goes on to say, verse 11, and whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay with him until you depart. Verse 12, as you enter the house, salute it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. So what is that? Those last couple of verses, what does Jesus mean by that? This whole shake off the dust from your feet. Well, at the time of Christ, the Palestinian Jews, when they entered into Gentile territory, they would shake the dust from their sandals when leaving Gentile territory and when they would re-enter the Holy Land. That was kind of a derogatory way of saying that we've just left this unclean Gentile pagan territory and we're back in the Holy Land. So Jesus is borrowing that practice from the Jews in his time, the Palestinian Jews, and he's commanding the apostles to do something similar to signify to those people that you visit and then they reject the gospel. Jesus is saying to do
and
this.
We're so speaking with William visit, Albrecht.
Oh, and then they got, I hear Gary Machuda right now.
Mr. Engineer?
Yeah, oh, okay, Gary's right. Gone.
Yep.
So Jesus is saying this to the apostles to use this gesture to signify judgment on a house that you visit that ends up rejecting the gospel. Verse 15, truly I say to you, it shall be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Well, why is Jesus saying that? I'll tell you why. Sodom and Gomorrah never saw God incarnate. Jesus, God walked upon the earth. His name is Jesus. Sodom and Gomorrah never had the benefit of seeing God incarnate. And so this town, the towns that do see Jesus, God incarnate, and these towns reject Jesus and his apostles, they're going to be held to a higher, there's going to be a higher guilt, higher responsibility on Judgment Day because God actually visited their town physically and they rejected him. That's why he's saying that Sodom and Gomorrah, who never saw God incarnate, they will be more tolerated on the Judgment Day.
Well said, and that's applied to us also. Much has been given, much is to be expected. Today's feast day is St. Benedict the Abbot, and tomorrow we're going to talk extensively about the Benedictine Medal. You're going to want to hear about that, but St. Benedict was born in Italy between 480 and 547. He lived a solitary life, and he actually started the monastic life in the 5th century, where all the other monasteries have their roots now. And I've actually had the opportunity to go to Subiaco, where he started his monastery. It's very beautiful. His life, you talk about exorcism, you talk about the power of what Benedict could do. It's powerful because he really did call upon God's name in casting out demons. So tomorrow we'll talk more about his Benedictine medal. But he also organized 12 monasteries during his own lifetime. And Pope St. Paul VI proclaimed him patron of Europe. So, Jess, I'm calling on St. Benedict to intercede on behalf of the European Church. St. Benedict, pray for us.
And by the way, that's why that's why Cardinal Ratzinger, he took the name Benedict.
Exactly.
That's precisely why Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, when he became the Pope, he selected Benedict as the patron of his papacy. Why? Because Cardinal Ratzinger, he called Benedict, quote, the fundamental reference point for European unity and a powerful reminder of the indispensable Christian roots of its culture and civilization. And so Pope Benedict, he knows the problems that Europe is in right now.
That's right.
And that's why he took that name as his name during the papacy. Something else that most people don't know about St. Benedict, he never became a priest. He remained a monk. And a lot of people don't know that. They think he was a priest that celebrated Mass. No, he was a monk, and yet he became one of the premier exorcists in the early church. In fact, he wrote many of the exorcism prayers that are still used today. And there's one prayer behind the St. Benedict's medal that was written by St. Benedict back in the fifth century. It's he's
powerful.
He's a prayer warrior. He started, you know, when the barbarians, when they attacked the Roman Empire and Rome collapsed, we didn't defeat the barbarians and the Vikings and the Vandals and the Nords. We didn't defeat them by armies, by Christian armies. We converted their hearts.
Amen.
We converted them through prayer and preaching. That's how we converted these pagans. And St. Benedict was the one that started these, what I would call these nuclear power plants. They were monasteries, but that's exactly what they were.
That's right.
They were nuclear power plants from heaven set up by St. Benedict, and he turned his monks into prayer warriors. And if you've ever looked, you know, seen on television, some of the movies of Vikings, you know, these sea pirates, you know, these Vandals, these Visigoth invaders, they were, Terry, they made the Hell's Angels look like Wee Herman. These guys were some bad dudes. They were some mean guys.
Yeah.
And you know how we changed them? We didn't beat them in war. We evangelized them.
Man.
And they became Christian nations and Christian empires.
Well said. Before we go to Bishop Sheen, we have a comment through the internet. Father Matthew Barstow, he wrote us a little comment about our show when we talked about ad orientem posture as a priest, not facing the people. And he said, I can attest to what you said, that what you said is so true. He said, at the shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament, we celebrate Mass ad orientem all the time. It not only feels right, but it makes the most sense for all the reasons Terry and Jesse mentioned. I also know the traditional Latin Mass, and so I've been able to incorporate some of the practices from it into my celebration of the Novus Ordo. This is the part that makes me happy because people get the message. He says, thank you for all the great work you do. One of the taglines on Virgin Most Powerful is clarity with charity. And that comes through loud and clear. We need more faithful witnesses like you to the truth of Jesus Christ and his gospel. God bless you. Father, pray for us. Have a Mass offered for the Terry and Jesse and Virgin Most Powerful. Jess, when I get letters from priests like that, I always think, wow, they're listening. That's all. Hey, let's bring Bishop Sheen into the room. Talk about
bring
priests.
Him in.
Full Sheen ahead. Wow. Jess, this quote from Bishop Sheen is going to be appropriate for today because we're going to be talking when we come back from the break about the genocide of Christians reaching alarming rates. Now, this was 60 years ago, 70 years ago, Jesse. Bishop Sheen in 1950 said, the hatred of the Muslim countries against the West is becoming hatred against Christianity itself, although the statesmen have not yet taken it into account. Even today they haven't. There is still a great danger that the temporal power of Islam may return, and with it, the menace that it may shake off the West, which has ceased to be Christian, and affirm itself as a great anti-Christian world power. Jess, this man's prophetic. This, I can say this today, and it's just true. It was. It's more true now, but I just think this man was prophetic in what he had to say about Islam.
Terry, we're going to talk about the way Islam continues to attack the Catholic Church, attack Christians. And here's what's happening. The devil is using a two-front battle that Satan is using against the body of Christ. On one side, he's using secular humanism, which uses right now the big tool of secular humanism is the whole homosexual lobby right now, the whole gay lobby, homosexual lobby, LGBTQ. That's the big thing that the secular humanists are using, and socialism, okay? But we're so busy combating socialism around the world and in this country and the homosexual lobby inside the church and in our culture that guess what? The devil's right hand, we're not paying attention to what he's doing here. He continues to attack the Catholic Church with his right hand using Islam, destroying churches, killing Christians. There's a two-front battle against Christ and his church. And it's secular humanism using the LGBT and socialism and radical Islam.
Well said. We'll have much more.
We're in the fight of our life.
Absolutely. Two-front war.
And it feels good.
We'll be right back. This is Terry Barber reminding you there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Bishop David O'Connell, and you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show.
To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Terry and Jesse.
There's an alarming stage of genocide happening to Christians There's two studies here. One is from the BBC, and another one is from a bishop, the Bishop of Truro, Bishop Philip Mount Stephen. Mm-hmm. According to the BBC report, one in three people around the world suffer from religious persecution, with Christians being the most persecuted group. Religion is at risk of disappearing in some parts of the world, the BBC noted, and in some regions, the level and nature of persecution is arguably coming close to meeting the international definition of genocide, according to that adopted by the UN. And the British Foreign Secretary, Jeremy Hunt, was quoted on why Western governments have been asleep. And he said this is a growing epidemic. He says this, quote, "I think there's a misplaced worry that it is somehow colonialist to talk about a religion, Christianity, that was associated with colonial powers rather than with countries that we marched into as colonizers. That has perhaps created an awkwardness in talking about this issue." Here's my response to that. Mm-hmm. Christians aren't colonialists in Europe, okay? Christians were there. Who's attacking the Europeans? Muslims.
Of course.
Okay? That's what Islamists. Mm-hmm. That's who's attacking the Christians in Europe. Well, guess what? Little memo here to the BBC. Christians were there in Europe 650 years before Islam. Okay? 650. Christianity was around centuries and centuries before this false religion founded by Muhammad. And the article says, the fact is that many of the world's most persecuted Christians have nothing whatsoever, so the article backs me up here, have nothing whatsoever to do with colonialism or missionaries. Those most faced with the threat of genocide, including Syria and Iraqi's Assyrians or Egypt's Copts, were Christians several centuries before the ancestors of Europe's colonizers became Christian and went missionizing. And Terry, what's happening here, the reason they're not saying anything is because of political correctness. Political correctness has the BBC and other people not saying the truth. They're just saying, oh yeah, we're being persecuted. Yeah, by who? By ghosts? By spirits? Say it. Just say it. They don't want to say it, Terry. They're afraid. But there are Protestant groups out there that say it. One group's called the Open Doors. Thanks to the Open Doors. They put it out. They put out the facts clearly.
Well, Jesse, you nailed it when you said political correctness. The facts are the facts. The majority of Christians being persecuted are in Islamic countries, okay? And oppression continues. Islamic oppression continues to impact millions of Christians. In seven of the absolute worst 10 nations, Islamic oppression is the cause of persecution. Just the facts. This means for millions of Christians, particularly those who grew up Muslim or were born into Muslim families, openly followed Jesus, can have painful consequences, including death. As a matter of fact, Jesse, I didn't mention this to you. I know I'm going to be on tomorrow without you, but I'm going to play an interview with a Muslim convert to the Catholic faith who was baptized on Sunday of last week. And her life is threatened because she became a Christian, a Catholic Christian in America. And the persecution, if she went back to her old country, there'd be a question whether she could come back alive. So the bottom line, the worst persecutors, according to these studies, is Islamic law, the Sharia law. With Jesse, you've talked for years on Sharia law. For those who don't know, what is Sharia law? What's that got to do with persecution, brother?
Yeah, two points I'll make. The organization that speaks, you know, with clarity is called Open Doors.
Yeah, they're good.
And I have to give them credit, Terry. They're a Protestant organization that's defending the Catholic Church.
I see.
Because they're putting out all this genocide. It's happening against Catholics, and this Protestant organization is the one that's putting this out. Not the Vatican.
God bless
them. The USCCB. Open Doors. Okay. Second question. What is Sharia?
Yeah.
Sharia is basically, it's Islamic law taken from the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
For Muslims, the Quran is the religion and the Quran is their politics. So both are taken, a Muslim's way of life politically and spiritually is taken for the Quran. So when you hear somebody say that this country, we follow Sharia law, that means that they take the Quran. It not only guides their religious faith, mm-hmm. like right here in America, Muslims only follow the Quran spiritually or on religious matters because we got the Constitution, okay? But in other countries, they take the Quran, it guides them politically and also in their religion.
And Jesse, that's what I wanted to make the point. Islam is a political system, is it not?
Absolutely. Everything else, I would say, is a beard, because Islam has an army.
Yep.
Islam has a government.
Yep.
They have legislation. They have death penalties, and all of this, Terry, is covered with this shroud that it's a religion. No, Terry, it's a lot more than a religion. It's a total way of life. Total. Political, legislative, judicial, military. It is a total way of life.
And Jesse, let me just throw one more thing at you, because you're an expert, in my opinion, on Islam. You've studied.
I'm well read in this area.
I know you are. That's why I'm going to be the guy that's asking you the question. In the situation where, let's just say you immigrate to America, and your daughter becomes a Christian. In the Islamic law, what can dad, mom, what can the parents do to their daughter?
Yeah, it's called honor killing. Mm-hmm. A father, not the mother, the father is allowed to kill the daughter for any violation. In other words, if the father deems that the daughter has disrespected the religion, mm-hmm, and disrespected the family, the father is able to kill the daughter. And if the police pull up and they find the Muslim daughter in a Muslim country with a knife in her chest, with her chest open, and with dad right next to him, and the police will say, "Well, what happened here?" "Well, I saw her kissing a Christian boy around the corner, and I told her she can't see him, and she said she was going to continue seeing him, so I killed her." "Oh, okay, no crime. See you later. See you later, Mr. Habib."
Wow.
That's what'll happen.
Wow.
Terry, this other bishop, he's also seems to be a straight shooter. This Bishop Mount Stephen, he's also has his own study, where it's called an interim study. It was ordered by the British Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt. This bishop, he seems to be a straight shooter as well. He says, here's a couple of bullets. He says, "The persecution of Christians is perhaps at its most virulent in the region of the birthplace of Christianity, the Middle East and North Africa." Second bullet. "In countries such as Algeria, Egypt, Iran, Iraq, Syria, and Saudi Arabia, the situation of Christians and other minorities has reached an alarming stage." Next bullet. "The eradication of Christians and other minorities on pain of the sword or other violent means was revealed to be the specific and stated objective of Islamic extremist groups in Syria, Iraq, Egypt, Nigeria, and the Philippines." Next bullet. "There is mass violence which regularly expresses itself through the bombing of churches, as has been the case in countries such as Egypt, Pakistan, and Indonesia."
I like this next one.
Yeah, and the next one, go ahead and read the next one.
"Well, the single greatest threat to Christians in Nigeria came from Islamic militant groups, Boko Haram, with U.S. intelligence reports in 2015 suggesting, are you ready, 200,000 Christians were at risk of being killed. Not just hurt, killed. Those worst affected included Christian women, girls abducted, forced to convert, interforced marriages." We talk about sexual abuse and torture. Look at Islam.
That's right. It's funny. The secular humanists are always railing against Christianity. "Oh, you guys are talking against homosexuality, against fornication, against sodomy, against adultery, against masturbation." Guess what, Terry? All those things are allowed in Islam.
Yeah, but they don't want to go after them for obvious reasons.
Yeah, they don't say nothing about them.
That's right.
Let me modify what I said. Islam they approach those things differently, okay?
Yeah.
Islam, for example, has a hard line when it comes to homosexuality. It's a hard line view. We find a homosexual under Sharia law, we kill them. You don't hear anything from the secular humanists, not one thing from secular humanists saying, "Hey, you can't be killing homosexuals, Muslims. You can't be doing that." You don't hear squat, Terry.
No.
And what about, adultery? The Quran allows four wives and one girlfriend. You don't hear squat from the secular humanists about, "Hey, that's misogynist. That's using women. You shouldn't be using women like that, like a Kleenex." Nobody says nothing about Islam.
Jesse, that's just the facts. And this is, I'm going to be honest with our listeners, this is what got people uncomfortable with us on Catholic radio when we talked about Islam being a religion of violence. You can't say that. We were told that over and over again. Well, you know what? The truth is the truth. And I love, actually, Muslim people, because many of them really are trying to serve God, but they've been manipulated by Islam. And many of those who become Christian, Jesse, every Christian convert from Islam, man, they're on fire. They go, it's a religion of love. Before, I just couldn't buy this religion of violence. And they were honest about it. And so that's why I say we have to share the gospel with Islam. And that's how we're going to win them, just like Jesse was talking earlier in the show, by our faith. Introduce them to the person of Jesus through his mother, and I believe we can get them to come into the faith and live the truths of religion rather than
What worries me in this article says that Christianity now faces the possibility of being wiped out in parts of the Middle East.
Oh my God.
Where its roots go back the furthest.
Yep.
Look at this. In Palestine, that's the Holy Land.
That's right.
Christian numbers.
Definitely. Yeah.
By the way, 50 years ago, 50% of the Holy Land was Christian. 50%.
Yep. What changed?
Right now, 1.5% of the Holy Land is Christian.
Wow.
Is this microphone on?
Ridiculous.
In other words, this
Bethlehem.
Christianity is at the risk of totally disappearing. And this report put out by this bishop and even the BBC, they also put out some of this information. They need to be commended for this. And the fact is, I don't know. We've reached a boiling point right now. Christian persecution has reached a boiling point. And here we are, Terry, in the Vatican. We're talking about, you know, the Pan-Amazon Synod. We're talking about climate change and global warming, where we have Christian brothers and sisters being slaughtered like goats and animals in the Middle East and in Africa. And here we are, Terry, watering the tulips in the front yard.
Well, we're asleep at the wheel. Let's just be honest, Jesse. And the other thing, we're not just asleep at the wheel. We're scared to confront Islam because we're afraid, just like a bully will confront you at school and everybody says, oh, don't say anything to the bully, just let him go. Well, Islam is the bully, and many people do not want to confront the bully and confront them with the truth of the gospel. Jesse, wow, that thing about the Middle East and Bethlehem and the Palestine, all the Christians leaving, obviously it's Islam that's doing that. When we come back, we're going to continue here on the Terry and Jesse Show to tie it now into France. What's going on about the silence about all these church attacks in France? Much, much more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin, most powerful radio with charity and clarity. That's what we give. We'll be right back. This is Terry Barber reminding you there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Before we get into France, I want to give a good news story because what we've been talking about hasn't been good news. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I saw this on the internet. Trump administration names pro-marriage Harvard professor to new panel on human rights. So here's what they've done. It's a commission to review international understanding of human rights and has selected a social conservative human rights scholar, Mary Ann Glennon, to chair it. Now, she believes in natural law. Jesse, 8 years ago of when, well, I should say 3 years ago when President Obama was going for 8 years, I never heard this. You know what I always heard? A very progressive person is named to this or to that. It's just refreshing to hear a common sense to say, let's go back to natural law. Let's go back to what we've always had in Christian Judeo principles. And I think that's what Trump is doing consistently with the Supreme Court decisions, or, you know, the judges and lower judges. So I just want to say thank you, Mr. Trump, for keeping your promise.
Natural law, which is what made America great. Tim Gordon wrote a book on it.
Yeah.
And his whole argument in his book is that natural law used by the founding fathers is exactly what made America great, because natural law, he calls it crypto-Catholicism.
I love it.
Yeah, crypto. In other words, we live in a Protestant. This country is crypto-Catholic in its roots. That's majority Protestant, but right now it's a secular country. But the way to make it great again is to go back to that crypto-Catholicism and realize that natural law, which comes from God through the Catholic Church's geniuses.
Yep.
Like St. Thomas, that's how we're going to make America great again. But Terry, Europe needs to become great as well. They need to go back to natural law. They need to go back to St. Thomas. They need to go back to the scholastic. Yeah, St. Benedict, pray for us and pray for Europe.
Exactly.
And I say that because right now, again, you know, the devil has us looking at the left hand where everybody's scratching their head. So who burned down the 850-year-old Notre Dame Cathedral? You know, the French authorities are still wondering who did it. I have my suspicions, but look what's happening on the right hand. And we're not paying attention to the right hand because everybody's saying, okay, what happened? Who burned down the Notre Dame Cathedral roof? Well, France has been silent in the last 2 years.
Check this out.
About 2,000 Catholic churches have been attacked in France. Have you heard that in the mainstream media?
No way, nothing.
Absolutely not. You don't hear any of this. You know, churches, in fact, in France, they're saying this is the norm, Terry. Two churches a day on the average are being desecrated in France.
Sad.
That means 1,063 attacks on Christian churches or symbols, crucifixes, icons, statues have been registered with the police since 2018. And Raymond Ibrahim, who's an expert on the Middle East, he says this represents a 17% increase compared to the previous year of 2017, when there was 878 attacks registered against Catholic churches. So he says things are going from bad to worse. And it's not the perpetrators who are in danger of being ostracized, but those who dare to associate the desecration of Christian symbols with immigrant imports. In other words, if you start saying, oh, well, it's Muslims doing this. Guess what happens with the German press and the French press? They start calling you a hater. They start saying, hey, this is hate speech and you're a racist. So Terry, we're at the point where, you know, nearly 2,000 houses of worship in France have been desecrated. And the same thing's happening in Germany. And if you say anything about that, you're called a hater. And you know what the French politicians, you know, they attribute the church desecrations to? They say, oh, It's being done by militant secularists. That's what they call militant secularists.
Yeah, we can't tell the truth. You know, Jesse, we did a show
truth
about
is not allowed.
Yeah, we did a show a few years ago about this similar situation in England, where there was a private school being run by Muslim people, and there was all kinds of sexual abuse going on, and the police chief in the city knew about this for going on for 10 years. Okay, 10 years of it happening. But the reason he didn't go in and enforce the law is because he was afraid that people would call him Islamophobic, and that he was going out just because they were Muslim school teachers that were abusing the kids. See, Jesse, political correctness has got us into this mess. Not only in Europe, we have the same problem in our own country. But the thing that's interesting, militant Muslims hostile to Christianity are rejoicing and the destruction of the property in France, and they even took credit for it, okay? So, I mean, they're being upfront, and we're going, oh, yeah, but that's just that. Let's don't talk about that. Let's put that aside. And I just think that it's sad that we won't deal with reality, and what happens to people who don't deal with reality is, you know what? When good people do nothing, evil abounds, and that's what's happening right now.
Well, you see what's happened in the Middle East, our last segment. Mm-hmm. 50 years ago, 50% of the Holy Land, Palestine, was Christian. Right now, it's 1.5%. So it's even less, because I went to Palestine like 3 years ago with Steve Ray, Holy Land, and it was 5%.
Wow.
So in the last 4 years since I've been there, it's gone down from 5% to 1.5%. And who's doing this? Muslims. All they're doing, Terry, is following the Quran. And I'll tell you, here's what happens. The article says Raymond Ibrahim, who's an expert on Islam, and I've seen this time and time again, whenever a Muslim attacks, commits a massacre or attacks a church, and they catch him and they find out that he's a Muslim, you know what the press says?
Tell us.
They say, This perpetrator, he suffered from mental illness. He had mental health issues. It's not because he was a Muslim. No. He had mental health issues. So when we do catch a Muslim doing something nefarious, killing many people or destroying a church, immediately the press goes on to defend him and say, oh, no. It has nothing to do that he's a Muslim. It's because he had mental health issues.
It's more excuses. And Jesse, not only in France, but in German, there's a German report dated November 11, 2017, noted that the Alps in Bavaria, where Pope Benedict was born, around 200 churches were attacked and many crosses broken. Police are currently dealing with church desecrations again and again. The perpetrators are often youthful rioters with migration backgrounds. Everywhere they are described as young Islamists. And in Europe, regions with large Muslim populations, they seem to be committed to the rise of these attacks on churches and Christian symbols. Over the past few years, yes, there's little doubt that Muslims are maneuvering ultimately to eradicate Christianity from their relocation spots, just like in the Holy Land. This is, Jesse, this is a pattern, is Islam. When they get enough people, the population gets a certain percentage, this is when they step up their takeover. And I'm saying, am I an alarmist? No, I'm a realist. You look at history. Look at about 1,400 years of Islam, 1,300 years of Islam. Take a look what patterns they have done. And you can predict where they're going to be 50 years from now, 100 years from now, if we do nothing. Just that's my take.
And we're paying the price for it. Europe's paying the price for it, Terry.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, there's another article that I just pulled up that says that anti-Christian attacks in France have quadrupled. Is this microphone on? Let me check.
Yeah, really?
Yep, this attacks in France. In other words, there's been an uptick in attacks in France since 2017. And so The fact is, denying the obvious, denying that we're being attacked by Islamists, and denying all it's doing, Terry, is making us an easy and a weak target. Bullies sense weakness.
That's right.
Islam senses weakness by French government officials and Catholics. They sense weakness by German government officials and Catholics. And guess what? They're preying on their weakness. It makes them an easy target. And you know what happens when bullies like Islam sense weakness in Christianity in Europe? Here's what happens. They start destroying Christianity.
Right.
And you know what happens? I've seen it. Men start leaving. I've had this conversation with many men. Says, "Oh, okay, why are you Muslim and you left the Catholic Church?" They go, "Are you kidding? Look who's going to take over the world." Catholics offer no resistance. And I mean, they go on and on. I've had a dozen conversations with Muslim men who were former Catholics in the last 10 years. And they told me that they left the Catholic Church because they've seen it as a symbol of weakness, of homosexuality, effeminacy. And they see Islam as masculine, as strong, as a religion that dominates men. I mean, Terry, I'm like, okay, how do I argue this? When we see the effeminacy in the church right now, the homosexuality. I just say, Lord, help us.
Jesse, the facts are the facts. We said them two days ago regarding every convert that comes into the Catholic faith, 7.8 people leave. And until we turn this around, it's going to continue to go. How do we do it? Through prayer? Yes. Like tonight, I want to invite everybody to the chapel. We're getting more and more people are coming to do holy hours of reparation. Every Thursday night from 7 p.m. at the Sacred Heart Chapel, I'd like to have you come. We pray for our priests, our bishops, and our Holy Father, and making reparation and asking God to bless them and give them the strength to stand up as followers of Christ and lead us and confirm us in our faith. That's what we're praying for every Thursday night here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Jess, when we come back, we've got an interesting comment from Cardinal Raymond Burke regarding immigration and Islam. But before I mention, Jesse, yesterday I got Father Murr to come to the women's conference in September. So ladies, you better register quickly. Father Murr is going to be one of your speakers at the September 7th women's conference. Go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and you can sign up for that or call 877-526-2151. Jesse, where are you going to be this? You got something going on right now?
No, Terry.
Okay, on August 2nd, he'll be in the Church Militant Men's Conference.
Yeah, August 2nd and 3rd.
Yep.
Church Militant over in Dearborn, Michigan.
You got it. All right, we'll be right back.
Thanks, Terry.
This is Terry Barber reminding you there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity. Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. We'll be right back.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Clarity with Charity. Terry, we need these heroes in Christianity,
yeah,
like Charles Martel. We need another Charles Martel.
Amen.
You know, and Pope Urban, Pope Urban the First.
Yes.
Saint Bernard Clairvaux. He actually he not only approved the Crusades, Terry, he fought in the Crusades.
I love it.
We need another Richard the Lionheart.
Yep.
He's the one that defeated the Muslims in the Third Crusade. Saint Ferdinand of Castile. Another. We need his intercession. He also routed the Muslim invaders from Spain. We need another Don Juan Austria, who routed the Muslims and the Battle of Lepanto, and and the King John Sobieski. He also routed the Muslims from Poland. This was the heart of the Catholic faith here. They knew how important Mother Church and our religion was. And somebody else who speaks like all these men I named is Cardinal Raymond Burke.
Yep.
That's why he's an outsider right now. He's not a Vatican insider. He's hammering Islamic immigration.
Yeah.
He recently said in Rome during a pro-life and pro-family conference that limiting Islamic immigration and into traditionally Christian countries is not only responsible, but a form of patriotism. And he says, here's the meat of it. He says, Raymond Burke said, as he noted, to resist large-scale Muslim immigration, in my judgment, is to be responsible in the sense of making sure that those who are immigrating to the country remember that the definition of the church's teaching is that the individuals are not able to find a way of living in their own country. And this is not true of immigrants who come who are opportunist, and in particular in the case of Islam, which by definition believes itself to be destined to rule the world. They're coming into Europe in large numbers to countries. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to see what's happening. And Cardinal Burke says, for instance, in Europe, in countries like France and Germany, and also here in Italy, and it's also happening in the U.S. Burke says, there's a very interesting book called No-Go Zones, in which records places in the United States where, in fact, Muslim immigrants have set up their own legal order.
Shocking.
In other words, they resist the authority of the police and the government, and they resist the legitimate authority of the state.
Jesse, well said. And Cardinal Seurat confirms what Father Burke is saying, and it's not a popular thing to have to say what he said, but I'll give you an example of countries that have practiced the non-immigration of Muslims, and that is Poland and Hungary. Poland says, look, it's not a good fit for a Muslim to come into our country because of our Christianity. They've got their eyes open. They realize that it's going to cause havoc in their country. And I just think it's common sense to see that, but common sense is not that common. So Cardinal Burke, Cardinal Seurat, thank you for just stating the obvious regarding immigration.
You know, even former U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, in an interview with The Guardian last year, he said this last year, so he's already out of office, but he said that Europe has been crushed because of large-scale immigration. This is liberal John Kerry.
Yep.
And even liberal Hillary Clinton.
Yep.
Last year, 2018.
I don't usually like to quote her.
Yeah, and I agree with her for once. This is the only thing she admitted last year that immigration was a huge problem for Europe, warning that the continent needed to get it under control. Here's what she said, quote, "I think Europe needs to get a handle on migration because that is what lit the flame. I admire the very generous and compassionate approaches that were taken by leaders like Angela Merkel of Germany, but I think it's fair to say Europe has done its part and must send a very clear message we're not going to be able to continue providing refugee and support, because if we don't deal with the migration issue, it will continue to roil the body politic. Guess what? First and only time I'll probably ever agree with Hillary Clinton. But what she just said here, Terry, I believe the U.S. has done the same thing. What I mean, I think the U.S. has done more than their part in taking illegal immigrants, way more. In fact, I just heard from a news source that last year, in 2018, the United States took in more illegal immigrants than all the other nations of the world combined. Hillary Clinton said about Europe, hey, you guys have done your job. You guys shouldn't take any more. You guys have done. We have done the lion's share. The United States of America has done the lion's share of taking illegal immigrants into our country. And so I think enough is enough, Terry. We don't know what we're getting in here. We got to vet them properly.
Absolutely. And Jesse, I'd like to bring it down to the level of individual people. Jesse, how many people can come to your home and you say, you don't know who
they... A limited amount.
Of course, me too.
There's only a certain amount of certain rooms and certain space, certain bathrooms.
Yep. And so I think that what happens is we have false compassion. And what happens is when you have false compassion, bullies will take advantage of you. That's all. I said it that way because I think it's exactly what Islam is. It's a bully because they think their religion has to be promoted through violence. Well, that doesn't fit in my backyard.
That's right. Terry, let's move on. We're not going to get that much time, but there's a book that came out from a friend of ours. It's called Infiltration, The Plot to Destroy the Church from Within.
Yep, I read it.
Written by Taylor Marshall.
Yep.
He takes as his primary reference the document. It's called The Permanent Instruction of the Alta Vendita.
Yes.
That's a document written by the Masons that was intercepted by the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And the document says the author of The Permanent Instruction admits that it may take more than a century before the process of the Masons produces the Pope according to their own heart. So the book talks about the penetration of the church by communists, by Freemasons.
Bella Dodd, yep.
And Taylor Marshall, he does name some names.
Yep.
This is the first book that's ever tried to connect the dots, so I give him a lot of credit. I mean, I'm sure there's going to become more information in the future and more books that'll be more that'll be more specific. But I think the evidence that he puts is a lot of it's suggestive, but he does give a lot of names. And he quotes a lot of the earlier popes that were worried about Masons and modernists, like Pope Leo XIII, Pope Pius X. And one of the things that he shows that in this book is that we're dealing with, Terry, is this Freemasonry and modernism and liberal and communism, all of it's been kind of wrapped into this idea. They use terms to bring in their insidious secular humanist doctrine. They use terms like peace and love and brotherhood and compassion and the dignity of man. But it's counterfeit Christianity.
Yeah,
they mean something different from what we mean as Christians. These liberals appeal to the emotions, and that's why they use a lot of Christian words, but it has a different definition.
He also goes into the human potential movement that took place in the late 60s and 70s. And Jesse, we have Carl Rogers, Abraham Maslow, all that. We have a CD set that we did on psychology, Friend or Foe. And we have one of the people who was one of Carl Rogers' professors. And he had a conversion back to his Catholic faith. And he would go all over the country to talk about how dangerous this
human potential.
Yeah, human potential program in psychology. And I would just say, if you want to get that, call us at 877-526-2151. But what Dr. Rogers does in this book is he gives you overviews of all the problems that are in the church and gives you the root causes where they came from. And I would say this, I'm not going to say I can verify everything he says, but so much of what I've read in other books, but he put it into one volume where people can read it and go, okay, I get the problem. We need to be praying hard for the church because we have been infiltrated. It's not a question of have we, it's how deep has it? Is
yeah,
it? That's the question. That's my take.
A lot of his book talks about the St. Gallen Mafia. He devotes an entire chapter.
That's sick.
He says it's a small group of high-ranking bishops and cardinals who assembled regularly in St. Gallen, Switzerland to discuss reforming the Catholic Church. And Taylor Marshall also says that they were trying to find a candidate for Pope who could defeat Cardinal Ratzinger. And after that failed, they needed to find somebody to replace him. And that someone, according to the book, it turned out to be Jorge Bergoglio, now Pope Francis. Also, he says about the St. Gallen Mafia, he names 13 members of the St. Gallen Mafia. You can read about him in the book. And one of the main members is Cardinal Godfrey Daniels, another person that was compromised with sexually compromised. Cardinal Daniels, he himself referred to this group as the Mafia. And he stood next to Bergoglio on the balcony of St. Peter's immediately after his election as a pope. And by the way, he was exiled from the Vatican under Pope Benedict and under Pope John Paul II, Cardinal Godfrey Daniels. Another thing that Taylor says in the book, he says that he talks about a lot of the Vatican bank scandals.
Yep.
It's been around since post-Vatican II, and he says that Pope Francis has his own peculiar problems with the banks. He seems to view them not as places where money can be safely deposited, but as safe places to deposit wayward priests and bishops. Pope Francis has appointed Monsignor Batista Rica, a homosexual, as prelate of the Vatican Bank, despite Rica's involvement in a series of homosexual scandals. And Rica doesn't seem to have any qualifications for the position that the Pope gave him. He also names another one in the book. A few years later, another compromised Argentine bishop, Gustavo Zanchetti, another one who had been accused, Pope Francis carved out a position for him in another Vatican financial institution. And so it seems to be that, and by the way, this bishop from Argentina, Zanchetti, he was formerly charged with sexual abuse and still could be facing up to 3 to 10 years in prison. But right now he's hiding in the Vatican. So, yeah, he points out all these things, Terry. It just makes me, it just drives me more to prayer.
That's where I was going to go, Jess. I got my hands folded. I said, folks, hey, you know what? This isn't the time to run. This is the time to get on your knees and act like a man and pray.
That's right. We don't run from Jesus.
Nope.
We can fight.
Nope. We've got problems inside our church. We acknowledge it. But we're going to pray and we're going to live our own lives as a holy life.
That's right.
That's the key. That's what I want to end this program on is life is short. Eternity is forever. Let's pray for Holy Mother of the Church. Tonight, I'll meet you at 7 p.m. at the chapel, if you're in Southern California, for 2 hours of reparation before our Eucharistic King. Wow. Jesse, when I hear things like this, it makes me want to pray harder and live more heroic lives of grace with Jesus Christ. So I want to thank you, our listeners, for supporting Virgin Most Powerful. And Jess, last thing I always ask, what state should we be living in, brother?
Holiness. Holiness. Answer the call to holiness.
You got it.
Be as holy as you can or die trying. Live in a state of grace. Live close to Jesus. Fight, pray, be holy, do penance, offer sacrifice. Everything in life, as St. Teresa of Avila, look at it as a prayer. Do everything with love. Everything you do, do it out of love for God. I don't care if it's washing the dishes and mowing the lawn. Terry.
Tomorrow, we have a Muslim convert to the Catholic Church. He was just baptized on Sunday of last week. You won't want to miss this interview. It touched me. It'll touch you on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.org. God bless you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.